We bless the Father for all things today. What a wonderful occasion, the Shabbat, to be able to enter into the tabernacle of Yahweh and to offer up unto Him a delight of praises and worship to our Heavenly Father. What a wonderful knowledge to have in this hour that we personally can know Him by His name and not by some identifying form. We can know our Father. I use the phrase often that this is a very ignorant generation because there is no desire for, first of all, correction and instructions. I want you all to hear me today because, first of all, as I said to Elder Martin, I don't feel like preaching. But I don't do this for the sake of my emotions or my feeling. It's done because there must be a warning unto the house of Yahweh. And we must prepare ourselves for the great trial that shall try every man that is alive and remain when Messiah comes. And we must know without a shadow of doubt whom we serve and who our allegiance is unto. You search every religion of the world, and they all have one common unanimity, and that is that they all serve God. The Muslims have a way to getting that through Muhammad. The Christians have their way through Jesus. The Jews have their way through the Talmud, the Kabbalah, many forms of traditions. The Hindus have their way through Vashti, Brahma, and Shiva. The Greek Orthodox have their way through their rituals, customs. Yet there is only one way, and that is through the hope of Yeshua Messiah. I say to you all, He did not come in a Latin Greek name. Yahweh nowhere in Scripture used terms of the Latin Greek expression to express us. He spoke to His people in a Hebraic, Aramaic, Paleo, Aramaic tongue. And for man to say what there is no consistency or continuity, that the name, there are many names, it is a false deception of hell. You do not have many names, you have one name. There's only one name. And if the strength and the honor of His name was lost, then what you call in Yohai in Scripture has no validity at all. It means nothing. Because there must be an author of this. And every author has a name. He is not a God, reverted, spelling dog. He is Yahweh. That is His name. And this is an ignorant generation with a preponderance of evidence and knowledge today. There's a lazy, thriftless, trifling generation. There is no willingness and a desire to understand the fullness of His truth. And Messiah came to present unto us the fullness of the revelation of the Father, that we will know without a shadow of a doubt whom we call upon. So they make all kinds of excuses that they speak in English. And yet the words that He enunciated today, like Mr. Arafat, is an Aramaic name. Sharon. They call them by their names. The integrity of the name Shaitan has maintained its integrity through every language of the world. Only the name of the Father and His Son. You must understand that the name of the Father and the Son is one. For the Son came to honor the Father. And what was in the Son was the honor of the Father. And because of pagan traditions. You use the expression pagan, Pastor Roberts. I do. For these were heathens and pagans that took the name of our Father and replaced it with a generic name. And that is what the name Jesus is. And that is why the origin of it is pagan, and it is a pagan name for the heathens have given Him that name And it is not the name of the Father. His name is one. And the Son's name is one. Now there's a reason that all these things came about. And there's a reason that the people today sit in gross darkness. There is no revelation. There is no profound knowledge of this mighty one that created all things. There is no comprehension of whom he is, because man does not know who he addresses. The Muslims address him one way, the Jews, the Christians, and they say we all have one commonality, and that's Ibrahim. Now, that's the commonality. He always said that he would make the name of Abraham great. But his name was a great name. And an everlasting, enduring name. So not only did he change his name from Abraham to Abraham. Not only was he a father of a nation, but he would be the father of many. So the Father changed his name. But his name is not the name of Yahweh. And so all these pagan religions, they have one commonality. And that is Abraham. They all work and cut and agree on that. And yet when it comes to the Father's name that this Abraham identified, and set up altars and call upon his name, then who is the one that Abraham called upon? Who is this mighty one that gave birth and life into Sarah, a Sarah's womb, when she was well past age? Rabbi like Abraham, that even mocked Yahweh when the Elohim came unto him, the Malak, to speak of the promise and the covenant of Yahweh. And even Sarai, she began to laugh. I have none of those faculties. I've gone through the metamorphosis of life, so how can I? With man, it is impossible. But with Yahweh, it is possible. And he shall make his name known in a mighty way in the midst of this apostate darkness, whereby the carnivorous raving wolves are raging throughout the earth. Now that is the spirit in this apostate hour. What is apostate? It is when the mind has turned away from the pure realities of the truths of the one that created all truth. Yahweh is the one that induced all wisdom. Man may take it and corrupt it. But Yahweh is the only one that produced wisdom. Because everything first comes from him, it is first of all pure. And so he imparts into man wisdom. And man utilizes it for his own deceit, corrupt desire. Because his heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And in this hour that we are in, there is a spirit that has gone out. And the only thing the scriptures can identify with is the spirit or the wolf. There is no carnivorous animal that travel in packs more ferocious and vicious than the wolf. Very tenacious. Very stealth, understands its range, its purpose. And the thing about them, they only hunt at a certain period of the day. And that's the night season. And so the wolves are hunting in the night season of this hour. And we are in the midst of great darkness, whereby there is no truth. And revealed truth of the power of Yahweh. That causes a man to walk in light. And so in this dark hour that we are in, then that spirit, the spirit of the wolves, have gone out. A wolf is a very cruel animal. It devours a beast within the matter of minutes. And tears everything apart. Maybe a large bone left, maybe. And some skin. But as far as them devouring, they do that. And they are a very social breed of animals that they actually call them intelligent. And they do everything in a social order and a pack. And they have an hierarchy there. The alpha pair. No one mates with them two. Nobody else. Not any other one of them mate except the alpha pair. And they mate and produce a lineage of strength. Now that's what has happened in this dark hour. That the alpha pair, the powers of darkness and hell, has become united with what we call this religious front, this ecumenical spirit in the earth today. And they have one common unanimity, and that is God. They meet on that preface of God's. They all meet there. And they identify this God with Abraham. Yet he knew the one that he built the altar to, and the one that he cried out unto. And through the dispensation of time, we saw darkness, mayhem arise. Why? Because the priests, they became very vile. They turned away from the things that prevented and subverted the power of that wolf spirit from entering in. And because they turned away from those things, now the season had become darkened. Because the light of the knowledge of the power of Yahweh is lost from the face of the earth. We can say what we will. And say there's this tremendous power, but that is hypocrisy. Man cannot even walk in a pure way. His mind is constantly oppressed and bombarded. His heart is constantly drawn unto the things of the earth instead of the things that are spiritual. That his affection should be set on things that are above. And not on things that are sensual. You, in your best day, how often, or what amount of time is spent on the things that are above, and not on the things that are beneath? We simply judge ourselves and correct ourselves by what Scripture says. And there were men like prophets, like Zephaniah and Ezekiel. Yahweh revealed unto them in the house of Israel the things that were transpired and the why the spirit of the wolf had entered in. And Shaul, as he cried out unto the saints of Karnah and the saints of Ephesus, he admonished them of his tremendous pure labor that no one could charge him of anything. I owe you nothing. I have not shunned to declare unto you Yahweh's truth. And that hope is in Messiah. How do men deny the Father, and yet they accept the name of Jesus and Lord, and yet they deny the Father? It cannot be, saints. It cannot. Shaul, that's why there's such a darkness. But Shaul never denied the Father, nor the Son. He knew the power of that great hope that came through this revelation of the Son, Messiah. For he come to restore unto the Father the pure essence of worship and our prayer life, that we pray unto the Father. We call out unto him and cry unto him because it is needed and very necessary in this hour. Darkness is upon the earth. I want to first identify the spirit of darkness. I want to read a few scriptures. And I want to move expeditiously because I want to finish this course today. As I sat basically all day in Scripture, now I didn't study this, but there were things as I looked at all day long, what a good day we had, even though it was raining. We had time to actually sit down and study Scripture. I like days like that. And I spent hours yesterday. No, I don't say this to boast. I'm very grateful that I have brothers here that would take upon responsibility that I can give time over unto studying and to inquiring of the Father. What is our opposition? How do we prepare for this? And how do we walk in the midst of this dark hour? I tell you, first of all, saints, you better take your lamp, your lantern, trim with oil, and you better have a reserve of oil to take you through. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. As I sat with my father yesterday, as he spoke to my heart through Scripture, there are a lot of things traditionally taught and are doctrinally established today that are so wrong is not found in Scripture. There are things, as I read yesterday, if we truly understood the format of Scripture, that is why the Iyadim, the Hebrews, they mocked the men when they began to translate Scripture, because they did not have the expertise, they did not have the ability to do it. They did not understand the Hebraic language. It is a language of poetic form like no other language. No other language. Yet in the midst of that language, Yahweh reveal unto a house, this is my name. This is a name forever. And in this hour whereby there is such a darkness as it was from Lelekiah, until the coming of Yahkahana, the baptizer, John, there was a great delusion in the earth at that time. And the reason why there was a spirit in the earth, and it had its entrance into the earth because of one reason. It had something to piggyback on. As Evangelist Horn would say, you give the devil a ride, he will certainly drive. And I believe that. Read these scriptures quickly. It says in Psalms 104 verse 20, Yahweh, thou makest darkness into the night. Now he maketh darkness into the night. Now look what comes out. Wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Is the wolf a beast? Is the spirit of the wolf, is that not pertaining to a beastly creature? There's one thing that a beast, it has no compassion on anything. It tears, it destroys. It is cruel. It is a very greedy spirit. It is a destructive spirit. And that's the heart of man today. And that spirit has overtaken men today because the hour is dark. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The way is so dark, they do not know the things that prevent them from moving on into the excellence of the light of Yahweh. What is wickedness? When you renounce by an apostate spirit the truth of the hidden things of Yahweh. Do you not know that Messiah was a hidden mystery? And yet that mystery was made known. Now the revelation of that mystery is not made known unto men. That's why they give him all kinds of names and titles. There's a difference between a mystery being made known and the revelation of the mystery. The mystery of the things that Yahkahana saw on the Isle of Patmos, they are made known unto men today, and they can cipher certain types of wisdom out of that. But the revelation of that is not made known unto men. That's why you have such diversity. That's why you have such disillusion and misunderstanding of Scripture. And if Yahweh sent forth Messiah in the perfect power of his will, the Word made flesh, and he spoke emphatically the truth of the Father, and if we are of the same birth, of the same spirit, what ought not we to speak? By some spirit of diversity or something different, we ought to speak of the same spirit and by the same spirit. Because everyone that say that they are of the calling of Yahweh, they certainly are not. They are hirelings and they are sheep. They are shepherds. And a shepherd is different than a hireling. The TTR, Matthew 6:23, but if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is the darkness? If the intent and the motive of a man's heart is to resist truth, it is one thing what truth does. It makes you free from every cumbersome bondage there is. And so if your eye pertains a certain amount of wickedness, and there is a polluted intent in your heart, then the light of his brilliant truth will never shine through to your soul. And when that light shines through, it brings breath. It brings the refreshings of Almighty Yahweh. It's what it does. That's what the light of his truth does. Yahkahana, 1 Yahkahana 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare it unto you. Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In Yahweh, which is Messiah, is He is the hope of Yahweh. You cannot find no darkness in him. They tried to accuse him, but they did it falsely. And there were those that rose up out of their different sects. That is what has happened to the truth of Yahweh. You saw the rising of the Pharisaic and the Sadducees and the Essenes, and they began to dismantle the truths of Yahweh. You find it in the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Pentecostals, the Apostolic, the Jesus Onlys. Yet they all declare that they know Yahweh and they're serving the one true God as they declare. So do the Muslims. So do the Jehovah Witnesses. So do the pagan Judaism. So do the Hinduism. And yet they all declare they're serving the one true God. What is his power? And what is his identity? Tell me of that. What is the assurance of the hope of your God if you know the mighty Creator? Revelation chapter 16 verse 10. Yokohana said, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. I read that in Psalms that Yahweh maketh the darkness night, and at that time the beasts come forth. That's when they began to penetrate. They began to go into the thickness and places that they would not normally go during the day. That's what they do. That's what the wolf does. He waits for darkness because he knows that everything is settled and he can discern every movement, every sound. The air is still and it is not encumbered, or it doesn't have the different frequency of things that have fallen during the day, or things that have come near. He saw the vial poured out upon this beast government. And the beast government today, in the literal sense and the spiritual sense, it is a government that rules the heart of man. It is concerned about one thing, and that is meat for the flesh. A wolf doesn't dig for berries. It may eat certain grasses and leaves for the digestive tract and to destroy certain worms. But it is a carnivore. It eats meat, and it loves meat. And that is what the wolf loves. And that's why we should want to eat the meat. A desire to feed you with meat. You're not ready because you're carnal. And so this wolf is looking for one thing, and that is meat. It destroys the fiber of hope from a man's heart and brings them out to dark delusion. It's not coming looking for grass and berries. It's coming for meat. It's looking for meat. And that is what the spirit is doing, looking for meat. And it's going to attack, it will discern the head. Or it will look into the herd of those caribous. And the first thing it will do, or they as a pack, they know distinctively which one to go after. And they do not run in their separate ways or having their own motive, there's only one. You understand their motive? There's only one. One motive. One. Not two agendas. One agenda. Can I tell you? That is to feed the pack. Pride. To keep it alive. Nothing else. Nothing else. And that is the agenda of this thing that they call God. It is a vile thing. It is not your way. It is vile. He is not a God. Is your way. He is not a God. I did tremendous research on that word yesterday, digging as far as I could the etymology. You would not believe the things that I discovered. It is there for everyone to find. We're just so lazy and trifling. And I plan to do a teaching on that name. And is it associated with Almighty Yahweh? It's not saints. It can't be. This is generic, made up name. Just like the name Jesus. And I won't, and I will not step down from that. I defy anyone to try to challenge me in that. And I use that expression Because we will go with what Scripture says. And Scripture is the light of all truth. If it's Scripture. He saw this vial poured out upon the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness. And the people, they gnawed their tongues with pain. Can you imagine when a wolf attacks a deer or a caribou? You think they don't gnaw their tongues with pain? And most of them, if you watch them, you will see the tongue is always hanging out of the mouth. The mouths are open and the tongue, even when you brothers take down a deer. And he said they will literally gnaw their tongues with pains. And that is what man is doing today. That tongue, they are eating it away with perverse things and lies and corruption, false doctrines and false things that are not, that do not pertain to Yahweh. Your tongue is a very deceitful thing. It's a fire. It's a world of iniquity. And it teaches iniquitous things and lies and deception far from the truth of Yahweh. He has a name. If he has no name for the Father, then there is no Orion. There's no Molech, Molcham. There's no other one. The Father has a name. And the Son identified it. He says in the 11th verse, and they blasphemed Yahweh of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. And that's what this generation does. There's tremendous darkness in the land. And now the spirit of this wolf has gone out to hunt and to prey upon the souls or the meat, which is the hope to take you through that great journey unto the end. The old settlers in America during the warm season or the summertime, they prepared for the harsh times. They prepared for the cold weather in the summertime. They made everything ready for the harsh weather that would come. They did that when there were good days. Days of more sunlight. Days as the days grew shorter, they began to cut back on activities because they had amassed enough to secure them through that winter. That there were winters that were tough, but yet they had enough to make it through. And what they would do, they would always, in the next winter, prepare just in case there would be one as harsh as that one. We as a people of Yahweh, we have not done that. We don't prepare, and we are not preparing ourselves for the great onslaught that shall overtake this nation and the souls of many. And that dark season whereby man will not have the ability to cry out, he will not know how to cry out, because during a time of great light, when his word shone forth out of darkness, he will not open his heart to receive that light into his soul. So he rejected that. And because he rejected that, when the darkness set in, and because of the great pains that he shall endure, that he will begin to gnaw at his tongue. He will begin to speak with his mouth, and not by his spirit. And then he will blaspheme Yahweh, the one that created all things. If you are who you say you are, and why are these things transpiring? Have you ever said that one? Ask yourself that question. If you are the Almighty, you can stop all things. That's why he's the Almighty. Because he allow all things to transpire. To assure his house. And to assure the purity of his name. As he saved Israel out of many circumstances, it was not because they were good. It was not because they were lovable. It was not because they were pure. It was not because their hearts were set in right. He did it for his name's sake. He did it because of his name. He did not want his name to be associated with these heathen pagan gods. He did it for his name's sake. And for his name's sake, he has sent Messiah for his name's sake. To assure and to secure the house of faith, the call, the elect, and those that he has chosen. When a man rejects that, then he becomes full of wickedness. And there is an apostate power that dominates that man's life. He has rejected laws of righteousness and the truths of Yahweh. He is not instructed by the simple plain truth of Almighty Yahweh. instructs himself. He follows his own laws and his own bylaws. And everyone today possesses their own laws and their bylaws. There's only one that is true and righteous. And his name is Yahweh. Messiah represented him in his kingdom power. And he did it in an hour whereby there was great light in the earth. And the day that he gave up the spirit on that stake, darkness from that hour ensued the earth. And from that period, there has been a great darkness upon the face of the earth. Now we are at the point of its most vulnerable hour, whereby the darkness is exceedingly great. It's an exceedingly great darkness, whereby there is no righteous law to govern. As the moon governs the night and the sun today, there is no visible power to govern in this hour. Not his truth. We don't allow that. We don't allow his laws, his love, his kindness, his mercies, his long suffering. Those things do not rule in this hour. So man is given over. He's given his heart, his mind, his soul, his whole intent over unto the powers of darkness. Because he loved dark things, the things that he think that are hidden from Yahweh. I want to read from the Acts of the Apostles, as Luke wrote, chapter 20, beginning at verse 16. It says, "For Shaul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hates, there was a compelling desire in him, if it were possible for him to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." It was an urgent thing, and he knew being in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost was a very honorable thing. So don't tell me that they deny the feast days of these religious whores today. Say that they have no relevance. It is a time and a season whereby man should actually lay down everything and give unto Yahweh a beautiful observance, praise and worship. Because our days are so cumbered with everything but our thoughts on him. And so what he does, he gives us reprieval, a time of rest during the course of his year. That there is a time that we can be restored. We can be brought alive. Isn't that what the pagan holidays do? This vile thing of these pagan holidays that are coming up. And the main one is Mithra, Christmas. It is a time of joyousness, isn't it? Until the first of the year when the bills began to roll in. But that's a time of giving and joy giving. Our time of giving is every day. We give abundantly because we expect abundantly from him. And we're not looking for some kind of a palace in this life. We're looking for our abode with him eternally. And we shall abide with him on the new earth with the new heaven. And his throne shall be established forever. That is what we're looking forward to. And he gives us great assurance in that. And he gives us a hope in that through the strength and the power of one thing. What? Death. 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 It all came about by one man's death. That we have this eternal hope from Almighty Yahweh. Shaul says, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and he called. Look at who he called now. He called for the elders of the assembly. He called for the elder men. I want you to retain that because in the weeks to come, I'm going to concentrate on one teaching for a while. That this is who Shaul called. He called for the elders. Men that were studious. Men that were not given to folly and frivolity and jocularity. But men that were sound. Men that were strong in the knowledge of the truth of Yahweh. Men that were leaders and knew how to lead and did lead. Now that is who he called for, the elders. Now there was a reason that he called for the elders. To warn them. To warn them. Because he saw a great transformation that shall take place. Although Shaul wanted to go on to be with the Father. He knew that his living in the earthly realm was essential to establish this profound truth unto the Gentile nation. And not only to the Gentile nation, but those that were called the Yadims were witness of this profound truth and this profound transformation of a man that was very diligently zealous with great efforts and the Pharisaic laws or traditions. Another man like him. He excelled above all things. Above all men, he excelled above them all. Very zealous. He was a zealot. And he did it with passion. As he wreaked havoc in the assemblies. When he began to hear, they began to use that name. That by the corrupt pens of the priests and the scribes, they had actually corrupted scripture. I was intending to do something today. I will one day. To speak in the one person's ear and tell them to pass it on and see how that will come back to me. Anytime you put something in the hand of man, you're going to find a mess somewhere in it. He never intended to put this in the hand of corrupt men. And what brought in the corruption was one thing. What, preacher? You think you know what scripture tells me? They moved away from the pure foundations of truth. And that is what has done it. Because they've moved away from that and they have gone about to establish their own truths. The Baptists have their truth. The Pentecostal, the Methodists, Lutherans, Muslims, they all have their own truths. And yet they all declare one synonymous thing. That they all serve God. Now you notice today in the religious practice, they just basically, they have minimized even the name Jesus. And they all use the name God. They use that all the time. And they may interject the name Jesus in their text, but that's all they use. I listen to too many of them. I scan the radio as I drive to hear what they are saying. I have to see what they are saying. It makes no difference what kind he is. Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist. Makes no difference at all. They all speak with the same tongue. Now, what God are they serving? When the Baptist God loves Baptists, and the Methodists love Methodists, and the Pentecostals, and they all say that each is wrong, and they all are wrong. Even those that use the name Yahweh, is more to the name than just a name. The name is the essence and the essential. And you must go beyond the name. For in the name you find the strength and the power to live the name. Whereby all the family in the heavens and the earth are named after him. And in the name you find the holiness, the power, and the strength of Almighty Yahweh. It must be that way. It has to. So it's more than just that. Shaul says, he called for all the elders, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, first of all, he said, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all the season, he said, you can witness of yourselves the kind of man that I've been. Have I been a charlatan? A hireling? First of all, let's establish that. Have I been a false brother? Have I been like Demas and Alexander, who have turned over the shaitan that they may learn not to blaspheme Yahweh? Let's establish this. And if you concur with that, then I can go beyond this measure. If you say, I've been a charlatan, I will speak no more. He said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable. When a man understands truth and it is profitable for the prisoners or the people, and he holds that back, then there is an element of wickedness in that man and darkness. Unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and I have gone from house to house. He says, testifying both to the Yodim and also to the Greek. Now he says here, and in the KJV it says, repentance toward God. Now our repentance is toward Yahweh. Repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward who?
It tells you they're the Lord Jesus Christ, but our faith is toward Messiah. Our repentance is toward the Father. This is a wicked world today. They don't know truth. They will not seek understanding of the truth. And the reason they don't, because there is no love in their heart to know truth. These charlatans today feed these people just what they want, to keep the money flowing. And so this is how Shaul addressed the elders, that I have kept back nothing. I have taught you, testifying both to all your dim and Greek Gentiles, that there must be a repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward Yeshua Messiah. He is the hope of our repentance, because in Him we acknowledge who has sent Him, and that one has sent Him is the one that is able to save us. And that is what He taught them. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Now, He was not talking about the Kedush Ruah. He was talking about His own spirit. He said, my heart is aching. Great pain and grieved in my spirit. He says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, save that the Holy Spirit witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. He said, there's a witness in my soul by the Spirit. It tells me one thing, that there are afflictions and bounds and bondage, great trials that wait for me. No rosy reception, but great things. They speak because the hour of darkness is eclipsing and is coming to its zenith. We're in the zenith of that dark hour today. And the beasts are roaming out of the fields. And the wolf spirit, it is raging for one thing. And that is meat. We need the meat of this true saint. Need a little meat. The protein of a meat. Of meat does different. And proteins of beans and other things like that. Lentil, the carbohydrates. It's a different. He said, but none of these things move me. I'm not concerned about these things. I'm not afraid. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I don't count my life dear to me. So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of Yahweh. Remittance I receive of the love of Yahweh to testify the message of Messiah. And now behold, I know that ye, all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of Yahweh, shall see my face no more. It says in the KJV, the kingdom of God. But what kingdom? Who is the minister of the kingdom? He preached unto them the kingdom of Yahweh. He said, wherefore, elders, I want all you all to charge your hearts. I take you to record, to account this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. How is that? How could it be pure from the blood of all men? There must be witness in Scripture. In Ezekiel, as you always said, Ezekiel, to the hardened house of Israel. He said, you go and you warn the righteous man, that if he turn from his righteousness and began to pollute himself, his righteousness will not be remembered anymore. He said, you go and you warn the wicked man. He said, if you don't do these things, then the blood shall be required at thine hand. Shaul, he warned them of their corruption, their hearts, the spirit that they had allowed to enter into their heart to create some form of division or superiority or preeminence. Me first and you last. No, it is Yahweh first. And he should ought to have preeminence in our hearts and our minds. And then we are secondary. And whatever falls off the king's table is enough for me. Because the king doesn't eat like a dog. He eats like a king. So even his straps are sufficient for me. Whatever he gives me, that's enough for me. He shall call you to record today that I am pure from the blood of all men. First of all, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of Yahweh. And the counsel is of Yahweh. Men will say the counsel of God, but that's wrong. He is not a polluted dog. And that is what every God is. It is a man-made creation. It is made. Yahweh has no beginning or end. He was not made. He is the beginning. And there is no beginning because He is the beginning. He said, I've not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of Yahweh. Where did He get the counsel from? He had to get it from the books of Moshe. The first five in scripture. He had to get it from the prophets and the Psalms. So He declared unto him the counsel of Yahweh. And in the light of that counsel, do you hear me, saints? It brought strength, power, hope, and revelation through the administration of Messiah. And that's what Messiah does. The counsel of Yahweh is not void because of that representation of Messiah. What it does, it gives strength and credence unto the counsel of Yahweh. And this ignorant generation says, well, we don't need the Torah, the prophets. That is a lie. What Messiah does, He gives strength unto the writings of the prophets and the Torah. That's what He does. For He gives us the light of understanding of those things. Whereby men grapple with them because they were carnal, fleshly men. He imparts in us the spirit of those things because it is spoken by Yahweh. The Father spoke those things. That's what He has done. That's why you can't understand the Father without understanding Messiah. You can't have the Father without having Him. And if you have Him, then you must identify and recognize the Father because He did it. Thank you, Father. He warns them. He said, brothers, take heed. Be careful. Take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. The instructions of Yahweh by His Spirit gives those men or gave the elders the power to take oversight. Now the world today doesn't want that. I will show you why. That is one thing about the wolf. It is a social unit of a pack of wolves. And the young ones take care of the pride, keeping the dungeons clean and all of that. And then you got the alpha pair that produces a lineage that will sustain a great strength in the midst. And when the other ones, or the female ones, if you use that, when they get a little older, what they do, they leave the prides. And they stake out a territory to find another man wolf. And they began to produce litters. And as they produce litters, then they become social. There's a dependence on one another, and they care one for another. And so the whole emphasis is on the pride. And so he said, elders, you have been given the command and the commission of Yahweh by the Spirit to take oversight. And one, to take oversight, it takes oversight. It sees beyond your carnal and fleshly ideas. It looks to the law of Yahweh as a whole and see what Yahweh says. And so he takes oversight and says, that's wrong, brother. Sister, it is not correct for you to do that. That's your will, brother. You can't respond that way. He said, you take oversight to do one thing, to feed the assembly of Yahweh. Not the church of God, but Yahweh's assembly. His call out a symbol of separated, set apart, sanctified people, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know that after my departing shall, He identifies the Spirit, grievous wolves. Now they were not in, but he said grievous wolves shall enter in. Grievous wolves enter in among you and not sparing the flock. Now that is the first thing. The grievous wolves entering in, and there was a demise in the midst as well. There was corruption in the midst, but there were those external influences will come in and they will corrupt and they will destroy the unanimity or the oneness of the flock. And that is what has happened. These wolves in this night season, they have entered in. They have entered into the doctrinal arena. They have entered into this religious formula. And they have entered into a pact. But what is that pact? They all agree on one thing, that there's a God. That's the agreement. That's why the Muslims can sit down with what we call the Christians. And the Christians, what we call the Christians, can sit down with the Muslims. What fellowship has Messiah, or Yahweh, with Belial? Or what concourse? Or what is the oneness of light and darkness? And yet they all do that. Our illustrious president, Mr. Bush, last week during the Ramadan, he had the Muslim cleric from different parts of the world to come. And those in the United States at this great feast of pagan practices. Yet these, they call themselves the moral right. The evangelical Christians, they're full of the power of their God, Shaitan. They don't know the power of Yahweh. They're full of sin and darkness. And the wolves have entered in their packs. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know the spiritual laws of Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh never intended for that to be. He doesn't intend for his people to learn the ways of the heathens. That's why he wanted us to come out from among them. You separate yourselves from them, that you may adhere or obey the laws of Almighty Yahweh. He said the first thing will enter will be grievous wolves. And they're going to enter in. Now, I want to identify the spirit of this wolf and the wolves and how they actually enter in. I want to show you. I want to stop right there, but I want to go somewhere quick. Zephaniah chapter 3. This is the word of Yahweh. These are not my concepts of precepts. These are Yahweh's. And we can reject that if we want to. It is to our own destruction and our own death. When you hear the truth of Yahweh, you don't harden your heart as in the days of provocation. You don't provoke him. You don't provoke Yahweh. Zephaniah chapter 3. What I began reading at the first verse. You must understand that this is concerning the moral of the state of Jerusalem at the time of Zephaniah. As he began to speak and to prophesy, the corruption had filled the house. It began to allow all kinds of precepts and concepts to make the law and the righteous laws of Yahweh so cumbersome that no one could even understand. And they began to divide into their little groups, the laities, the priests, and all kinds of little groups and subgroups like we have today. And they all had their opinions and their voiceful opinions. That is so today. Scripture says in the first verse, it says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressed city. Now the city is oppressed? What do you mean, Yahweh? It is a city of affliction. It is a filthy city, it is a polluted city, and it is a dirty city. America is filthy. She is polluted. And everything she offers you oppresses you. Her homes oppress you. Her cars, her riches, families, friends, they all oppress. Everything that she offers and that she esteems highly, it oppresses. You must understand that the moral right today, they're saying that it's family. There's only one family that is named in heaven and in earth. That is the family of Yahweh. Has nothing to do with the genealogy or the lineage of the natural man. It has to do with a spiritual a change or a spiritual birth that comes by Yahweh. So he said, woe unto that city. She obey not the voice. Is this nation obeying the voice? She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. Do you ask yourself that? Do you receive correction? Do you obey the voice? How do we know His voice? Well, Messiah says that His sheep, they know His voice. Do you know His voice? And a stranger, they will not follow. Am I speaking with the voice of Messiah? Or is it the voice of a corrupt, bloody man? That's a good question, isn't it? He said, they will not receive correction. She trusted not in Yahweh, and she drew not near to her father, or Yahweh. Are we drawing near unto Him with a pure heart? Are we truly drawing near? It is one thing that Yahweh will do. He will expose us in His word.